Well, hello there, and Happy New Year to our growing and faithful Keeping It Israel audience. You know, on October 7th, 2023, the world changed when Israel was savagely attacked with a kind of evil Jewish people have not faced since the Holocaust. While at first the news stunned and horrified most of us, it wasn't long before the attack became downplayed and anti-Israel lies began to spread, and anti-Semitism now has hit terrifying new heights globally. And sadly, there is so much misinformation out there that it is increasingly difficult for people to learn the truth, especially biblical truth. At First Century Foundations, we believe it is our God-given duty to do our part in this battle raging over what is true about Israel. Over the years, we have become deeply connected to the people of Israel, both Jew and Arab. We support over 70 ministries across the land of Israel and make yearly visits to those ministries there in that country. We also travel to Israel on a regular basis to host tours or produce our TV shows and documentaries there. As a result, we have come to develop strong relationships with ministry workers, pastors, archaeologists, historians, and other experts who are valuable resources regarding so many different aspects of the nation and people of Israel. Right now, we are just positively stunned at the misunderstandings and even outright lies being perpetuated about the nation and people of Israel in our world today. And so, for the next little while, we intend to draw from our many trusted contacts in Israel to bring you a podcast series that addresses the toughest questions and false claims about Israel that are out there right now. If you have any questions or topics you would like to be addressed, please don't hesitate to email us at info@firstcenturyfoundations.com or simply comment on our social media pages. It is truly our prayer that the voices calling for Israel's destruction are completely drowned out by the voices of those who know the truth and who are not afraid to take a stand for what is right. And so, without further ado, First Century Foundations is pleased to present to you Keeping It Israel's new podcast series, Battle for Truth. Well, welcome to the podcast today. My name is Jeff, and I'm your host, and we're going to talk about something today that's, I think, very timely. And the question is God the guardian of Israel? You know, the flood of news from Israel has been so heartbreaking over these last 6 weeks or so. Very, very heavy, very overwhelming. All of the things that we're seeing and hearing that are happening. And Melissa Briggs, who is a return guest, is going to give us some biblical perspective and hope as we all process the recent and ongoing atrocities that are taking place in the Holy Land. Melissa is an experienced Hebrew teacher who lived in Jerusalem, then England, and now lives in Nashville with her husband and children. She is passionate about making the riches of the Hebrew language available to everyone. And she's also an ambassador for Christian Friends of Emunah Israel, a charity that supports the orphans that are in Israel and the most needy Israeli children. And so, Melissa, we're going to start with, you know, this kind of concept. Is it true that God is still the keeper and defender of Israel? Where was God on October 7th, 2023? And why would he allow, you know, a destructive war? Why does God sometimes permit evil to befall innocent people? Why doesn't God deal with evil more quickly or more severely? All of these are the tough questions that we're going to be looking at today, and I know that you've been wrestling with these as well, and you've addressed some of them in your recent article entitled, Is God the Guardian of Israel?, published on Patterns of Evidence platform. And so today, you're joining us. We want to talk about these things, and you're going to give us some insights as well from the Hebrew language. I know that I've talked a lot in this introduction, but let me just let you say hello. Welcome. It's great to have you back.
Welcome. It's a pleasure to be here, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
Well, the pleasure is always ours. And I want to just jump right into this. You know, we've just kind of raised a lot of things and opened, I guess, a can of worms, if you will. But how, as a Christian, did you respond to the news of the atrocities of October the 7th?
Well, probably like most people, I was in, real shock. It really surprised me. It was a surprise attack, and it brought a lot of grief and a lot of questions. Many of those questions that you just read out, those were going through my mind, and it felt so overwhelming, so much grief, so much loss all at once. And really my main question to the Lord was, as I was praying for Israel, as I was grieving, as I was in shock, was, Lord, where were you? And I turned to a chapter, Psalm 121, that's brought me a lot of comfort through different difficult seasons in life. And I found this word for guardian or keeper over and over again. I'll read a few of the verses here from Psalm 121. He, meaning the Lord, will not let your foot slip. He who watches, and here we have this verb shamar. It means to keep, to watch, to preserve. Over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who is the guardian of Israel, and there that word is the noun form of shamar. This is the word shomer, and it means a keeper, a watchman, a guardian, one who watches over. It says, he who is the shomer of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord will keep you. Again, this is the word shamar over and over again. From all harm, he will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And it's not a simple answer, but I really was sitting with this verse, and I felt like the Lord encouraging me to dig into the scriptures and to look at this word, look at the promises he made to Israel, and look at what the scriptures have to say about evil, what they have to say about war. And I was especially prompted to do this because as I was talking to some of my Christian friends, they were coming at me with lots of questions because they knew I had lived in Israel, that I teach Hebrew, that I have a lot of friends still in Israel. And they were saying, how could God be allowing war? How, where's God in all of this? And I was turning to the scriptures with the same questions. And I think what I came to first was that Hamas's actions are evil to the core. These are clear expressions of demonic, violent anti-Semitism, because the truth is that all of hell is set against God, against his plan, against his people, against his promises. God has made so many promises to do with Israel's past and his and her present and future. And Satan knows that God has promised the land of Israel to the Jewish people. He knows that God has promised that the Jewish people are going to continue to be a nation before him as long as there's day and night, and as long as the sun and moon and stars are in the sky. And Satan knows if the Jewish people no longer exist, that God did not keep his word. And so because of that, since biblical time, for millennial, Satan has been trying to destroy the Jewish people to prove that God is a liar. And we see this ugly face of anti-Semitism, which comes from the enemy's desire to destroy the Jewish people to prove God a liar. We see it rear its ugly head so many times throughout history, the Inquisition, the Holocaust. And I think this is a very clear demonic expression of that spirit of anti-Semitism that we're seeing now. And I found so much comfort being reminded that despite Satan's most despicable attempts, that God will never renege on his promises, including all of these promises he's made to the Jewish people. And I was also reminded that sometimes in our overly political correct society that says, everybody should be kind, we kind of have lost our sense that the Bible warns us and tells us that there's going to be war, that there's going to be conflicts of good versus evil. And even Jesus himself in Matthew 26 warns us of this, says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me, but the ones who stand firm to the end will be safe. And that's a mashup of a couple different verses from Matthew 24, but it's reminding us that not everything is going to go smoothly from here on out. There is going to be challenges. There is going to be heartache. There is going to be tragedy. There is going to be war. There is going to be evil, because we are still living in this fallen world. And what something that brought me so much hope as I was deep diving into the scriptures and remembering that the most relevant source for understanding what's going on in our world today is not the news, although it can be helpful sometimes, but it's God's word. God's word is the ultimate authority. It helps us to be able to comprehend and process and understand and have the right perspective and worldview on what we see going on in the world. And it is true that our deep intuition that war and death and destruction are not good is, God agrees with that. The Lord assures us that the glorious eternal future will be won without war. Isaiah 2:4 says, he will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. So I think as I read the scriptures, as you read the scriptures, you can see that God is deeply grieved over the brokenness of humankind and the state of the world he created. And it's right that we feel grief about that too. And he will punish Satan for eternity in the lake of burning sulfur for all of the evil, for all of the havoc he has wreaked. And it's so reassuring to know that God is not idle. He's not uncaring. He's so compassionate, and he's carefully working out his redemptive plan. In fact, he has already set into motion a plan to remedy the brokenness of sin and death. He has sent his son to break the power of sin and death in our life. And that's still being outworked. And as we await his return, and we see this conflict of good and evil happening in the meantime.
Melissa, those are great thoughts. And I'm thinking about the term itself, the keeper or the guardian of Israel. And what we're really saying is that in spite of everything that's going on, God is watching with full knowledge, and that in spite of it all, he will be the guardian, the keeper of Israel. Help me and help our listeners with that concept in terms of, you know, what's taking place. You know, we just got news today. I don't know when people will see this, but we've got news today that 50 hostages are going to be released, and there's been a negotiation that's happened. And we presume, you know, God is over all of this. He's somehow in this. We want to pray and believe that his will is taking place. But as believers sort of looking from the outside in and knowing that he's the guardian of Israel, how can we sort of best grapple with some of those ideas?
Great question. And I can't give a simple answer. I don't have God's, you know, full perspective, but what I have sensed and what's come out in news reports over the last 2 months is that in many ways, God did hold back the hand of evil, restrain the full extent of evil that Hamas had planned for October 7th and beyond. We know that they had hoped and planned to get much further into the country. I listened to one interview with somebody who's worked in Israeli counterterrorism for many years. And he said, no, really, there were some miracles that happened that day that Hamas didn't realize the full power of even the weapons that they had, which presumably were given to them from Iran. And they were not using the weapons that they had to the full capacity. They did not make strategic choices as to where to invade and what to take over as they should have done. They should have focused much more on military bases than the kibbutzim. And also, I think what Hamas what the counterterrorist expert was saying is that Hamas expected Hezbollah and others to join in on the same day with their attack, which did not happen. And Israel had time to get troops to the other borders. And I think we'll never know the full extent of what the Lord preserved Israel from, or we'll never know the full extent of what he preserves us from on a day-to-day basis. And every loss of life is a tragedy. There's so much sadness, and I don't want to make light of the huge number of innocent Israelis that have lost their lives. But I believe that much more was planned, and that the Lord did restrain in a lot of ways the full evil that was intended. And I think one way that the Lord keeps or watches over is by empowering his people to defend themselves and to fight back. And I really think we're seeing God's judgment upon Hamas, upon their brutality, upon their worldview now with Israel coming at them with full force. And I think there's been a lot of stories of soldiers and people in Israel saying they really have felt God's help in the war in different ways. And it's not a simple question. It's not a simple answer, but Psalm 145:20 says the Lord watches over, guards, keeps. Here we find that word shomer again, all of those who love him, but he destroys all the wicked. And I believe that we are seeing God's judgment upon Hamas now for the brutality, for the atrocities that they incurred upon Israel. And I do believe that the Lord has not forgotten about Israel, and that we also have a role as watchmen. It says in Isaiah 62, verses 6-7, I have set watchmen, and there it's that plural of shomer there, shomrim, upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day nor night. You that are the Lord's remembrances, take ye no rest and give him no rest until he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise on the earth. And so the Lord is watching over Israel, and I believe he invites believers into that role too, that we are those who can watch what's going on, not to look away, and to pray and to intercede and do what we can practically to support as watchmen over Israel as well.
Amen. Wow. So I just want to catch this as we're going by, but you said the same Hebrew word is used there in Isaiah 62. The word for watchman is shomer, the same as it is in Psalm 121 when it refers to God being the guardian or the keeper of Israel, correct?
That's correct, yes.
That is incredible. And so, you know, Isaiah 62, I read mostly from the NIV, and it says there, you know, you who call upon the Lord, give him no rest and give yourselves no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. And so just a little plug in here, if you're somebody who prays, if you're somebody who seeks God's face and calls on the Lord, then you have a role as that same kind of keeper or watchman, you know, that God is over Israel. And so as believers in Yeshua, those who pray in Jesus' name, we can be active in a role that will protect and guard Israel and eventually establish Jerusalem and make her the praise of the earth. I think that's amazing. And of course, that's one of the texts that I go to often when I'm sharing and speaking in churches. And thanks so much for the insight there, because I'm definitely going to steal that and use it for sure. Melissa, there's another title of God. You know, we have heard it popularized in a song, I think, by Chris Tomlin, the God of angel armies, or the Lord of hosts. It's another title. Talk to us about this title for God and the implications of it with regard to this situation that we're watching unfold right now.
Yeah, I think as I was trying to say earlier, I think one way that God is the guardian of Israel is by helping helping the army of Israel to defend itself. And we hear in Deuteronomy 20, verse 4, "For the Lord your God, he is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory." And hundreds of times in the Bible, we see this name, Adonai Tzevaot. Sometimes English speakers will say the Lord of hosts or Adonai Tzevaoth, which is kind of a, it's this referring to the same Hebrew word there, which in Hebrew is more correctly pronounced Tzevaot. And this means hosts. And this is the same word for armies. And we see that, you know, God is so compassionate and he is kind and he is gentle, but he is also a fierce defender. And he is also the God of armies. He's also powerful and he demands justice and righteousness. And he is, mm-hmm. he is all powerful, almighty. And I came across Psalm 84 lately and it really touched me because this is a chapter that the Lord gave us when we started doing foster care, about like how gentle the Lord is as we're raising our young. And I was so surprised that these two things exist together in the Lord in such a beautiful and unique way. His power, his strength, his might, his fierceness to defend, his fierceness to protect, but also his compassion and his gentleness. I'll just read some of Psalm 84 here for us. "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts, Adonai Tzevaot. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may raise her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears, they will make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They will go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. O God, behold our shield." And that word there, shield, is magen. It means shield or defense. "And look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield." Again, there, magen, defense. "The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you." And so there we see this strength of the Lord and this invitation to find protection and defense and also comfort and really everything we need with the Lord. And he is this mighty warrior. This word Tzevaot means armies. And a lot of times our modern Western Christian worldview doesn't think that there's any room in the world for war. And certainly, you know, war brings with it so much tragedy and pain, and these things grieve the Lord. But as I read before, these things will happen until the Lord sets all things right in the new heaven and the new earth. And he is often working through them, like that verse in Deuteronomy, "For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory."
Mm-hmm. Amazing. I love that. And, you know, I think that as believers, you know, we kind of have to hold a number of things at the same time. And that's hard for some people. You know, they sometimes focus in on kind of one truth, you know, like that God loves everyone. And we think that means that nothing bad would ever happen. Well, that's not really the case. And you're bringing that about from the language in such a beautiful way, but we need to hold these truths separately, but together. And I think that's hard for people sometimes. We want to encourage people, you know, to understand that God can do miraculous things as the Lord of hosts or the Lord of armies, just like in the Old Testament, when sometimes Israel's army didn't have to raise a finger, but God, you know, took care of the enemy. We're praying for those kinds of miracles. And we've heard about some miracles that have happened already, as you alluded to earlier. I heard about one group of soldiers moving through a tunnel, and a white dove flew toward them inside the tunnel and landed on a tripwire right in front of one of the soldiers so that he would see that it was there. And these kinds of things are taking place. Even on the day of the attack, I know one soldier who had a rifle that, you know, had been given to him. It was sort of old. It hadn't been tested, reconditioned or anything. And that rifle worked perfectly the entire day of October 7th as he was actively involved in protecting his kibbutz. And then when he went to the range afterwards, it jammed and misfired and jammed and misfired. Just an incredible story. So we believe that God is up to something and that he is helping Israel. But we also believe that he will protect those who are truly innocent. And we do want to pray that those who are truly innocent on either side will be protected, that he will be the guardian of believers in Gaza. We know there's about 1,000 believers in Yeshua who are in Gaza right now. We pray protection for them as well. But Melissa, how would you encourage Christians to kind of have a biblical perspective on war and death and everything that we're seeing right now?
So there is a number of scriptures where the Lord tells us how he feels about death. It says in Ezekiel 18:32, "For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live." And then again in Ezekiel 33, he says, "Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn back, turn from your evil ways." And then in the New Testament, this is repeated where it says, "He is God who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth." And so, as you're saying, you know, God does not delight in having to punish the wicked, but because of his justice, there's a period that he gives for repentance, for turning their ways. And then he is the God of vengeance. He is this jealous God. He is this protective God, this Lord of hosts. In Isaiah 62:11, it says, "Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him." And I think that, you know, vengeance does belong to the Lord, and he is so grieved by the brutality, by the murders, by the rapes, by the beheadings. It's too gruesome for our mind to comprehend. And I think we really are seeing, you know, the source of it, that this is coming from the pit of hell, and that this spiritual war between Satan and God's armies has come into the physical, of this battle of good versus evil. And it's so reassuring to know that Isaiah 25, the Lord speaking of the Lord, it says, "He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." And I think that, the world, you know, where we see anti-Semitism rearing its head all over the world, I think people need to be really careful, because this is, you know, this is coming against God's word and God's plans. And God is a God of justice. He is a God of mercy as well. But there is a point where sin and evil, where he judges, where he comes with his vengeance and his strength to make things right again. And we want to stay as close to him as possible. We want to find our comfort, our strength, our worldview, our perspective in him, in his word, and be available to him to pray, to comfort, to do these things that that are so important. And it's right and okay to be grieved and to channel that into saying, "Lord, I want to be available as an intercessor. I want to pray for what's going on."
Beautiful. Thank you, Melissa. Now, I have one more question I want to ask before we get into a bit of a wrap up here, but what else would you like to share with the people who are listening? I know that you mentioned off the top that maybe you'd have a little more information for us, and I want to just give you a few minutes to share that if you have it ready there.
Yeah, another word that's really meant a lot to me over the last month or two is that, you know, God is this strong God, but he is also a God of comfort. And in the modern Western world, we sometimes use this English word comfort to refer to like a luxurious, convenient lifestyle that spawns apathy and ease and self-indulgence. But biblically, this word comfort, nacham, is so powerful because it is a response to, not the absence of, suffering and hardship. It's this word we find in the beloved Psalm 23, verse 4 says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me, they nacham me." And in this, in the modern West, we can easily overemphasize being quote unquote comfortable. And we look for ways to wrap ourselves up in bubble wrap or cotton wool or whatever phrase you guys say in Canada to minimize any risk or inconvenience or discomfort. And really, this stands in stark contrast to the biblical worldview of costly obedience and self-sacrifice that Jesus modeled for us and for his followers. He did not promise us a life without hardship or a life without tragedy or suffering or sickness or disease. That reality is coming in the new heavens and the new earth, which he is bringing about. He has this beautiful redemptive plan that is in process. But in the meantime, he wants us to look to him to be our comfort. And I don't know about you, but my experience is the seasons of life with the most hardship and suffering and unknowns and seasons of waiting are often the times where I grow closest to the Lord, or I've grown most in the Lord, because I've seen that I need his comfort. I need his help. I need his defense. I need his protection. I need his provision. And he, he wants to provide those things for us. And he wants us to reflect those things to other people too, just like he wants us to be a watchman or guardian the way he's a watchman or guardian. He also wants us to comfort other people in the way we've been comforted by him. And it says in Isaiah 40 verse 1, where the Lord instructs, "Nacham, nacham, comfort, comfort my people, says your God, speak tenderly to Jerusalem." And, you know, I'm in the U.S. that feels like, you know, what can I do continents away from the suffering and hardship and war that's going on in Israel? And I think that we as Christians can have a role comforting the Jewish people. And even in small ways, I have quite a few Israeli friends that are still in Israel, and also Jewish friends that live in other countries too. And even just sending one of the verses, like one of the verses I've shared with you today about how the Lord God will go with you, about how he'll comfort you or protect you, sharing verses like that with them, just telling them, "Hey, I'm thinking of you. How are you? Is there anything I can do for you?" And a lot of my Jewish friends that I've asked that question to, you, "Is there any way that I can, you know, help you or support you, or something I can do for you, or something I can pray for you about?" A lot of them have said, what would mean the most is to share truthful information about what's going on with other people. Because as much as there's this physical war going on in Israel, there's also this informational war going on all over the world about, you know, what is the truth of the situation there? Who's really the aggressor? Who's really the, you know, who's really doing what? And so that's something that I think all of us can do as a way to comfort Israel, as a way to be a watchman, as a way to be a good friend in supporting Israel, is finding accurate eyewitness accounts from Israel and sharing them with our community. Sometimes we think we don't have a lot of influence, but all of us have a sphere of influence, whether it's in our family or friend group or a Bible study or our church or our Facebook page or whatever it is. And I think First Century Foundations has done an excellent job of posting content on your Facebook page of, "Hey, this is truthful, powerful information that the world needs to know that you're not necessarily hearing on BBC or CNN that has this strong anti-Israel bias. And so I really thank you for the content that you're providing, the truth that you're providing for people there.
Well, thank you, Melissa, for those incredible insights and for that encouragement. Those are great practical ways that we can, you know, stand with Israel. And that's what it means to support Israel in this sense. You know, I've had lots of people take me to task on my personal Facebook page, especially. I posted, you know, I stand with Israel. And immediately I had, you know, people saying, how can you possibly do that? You know, innocent people are dying in Gaza, and, you know, it ignites this incredible debate. I want people to know, and I think that we all want people to know that we stand with Israel in the sense that Israel is on the right side of this horrible conflict, in the sense that they're responding to these horrific things that were done to them on the 7th of October, and to the constant missiles that are being fired in from Gaza. This is a problem that's been around for a long time. And so we stand in that sense. I don't believe that Israel is perfect politically, that everybody in government in Israel makes the right decision all the time. I don't do that. I don't unequivocally support political Israel. But certainly, these are God's chosen people. And, you know, go ahead, say if you want that, you know, Israel, there's no future for Israel. God is, you know, the true Israel is now the church, whatever. God made too many promises in the Old Testament to the people of Israel for that to be sort of null and void once Jesus comes into play. And that's a whole other discussion that we could have. But I want to say here that this is the largest Israel, the nation of Israel is the largest concentration now of Jews in the entire world. They're all in that one geographical spot. So just by virtue of that, we need to be supportive of them. And so we want to encourage you. Melissa mentioned some of the posts that we've been putting on our Facebook page. If you want to get on a thread with us, where I've been forwarding lots of information on a WhatsApp group, just go ahead and send me an email, jeff@firstcenturyfoundations.com. And in your email, put your WhatsApp number, and we'll add you to the thread. It's called Stand With Israel, and you can get this information that you can easily, there's a website you can go and you can easily post this stuff onto your media pages as well. And if you want to be involved with that, we'd love to have you help us with that. Melissa, thank you so much again for being with us. Just remind us, you know, where can our listeners learn more about Hebrew, either learning the language for themselves or finding more biblical Hebrew word studies like these? How can they find you online and get your course and all of those things?
Yes, so my website is explorehebrew.co.uk, and there you can find some of the other Hebrew word studies that I've written. And then also you can find a link to the Explore Hebrew course for beginners that I launched this summer. It's a unique blend of biblical and modern Hebrew where you can learn some Hebrew right from the start. And I actually have a coupon code to offer to your listeners. If you use code FCF23, that stands for First Century Foundations 23, that will give listeners $50 off the course. Plus, I'd like to make a $30 donation to the amazing work of First Century Foundations. I know that you have an emergency relief fund where you're sending resources to Israel to meet the needs of that have come up since the war.
Thank you, Melissa. And if you're listening, don't worry. We're going to put all of this information either in the description of the podcast so that you can find those links if you're listening by audio, or you'll see these links on the screen as well on YouTube or in the description below. So want to make sure you get all that information. Also, we'll put a link to the article that Melissa wrote called Is God the Guardian of Israel? My apologies. Is God the Guardian of Israel? And that's on patternsofevidence.com. And you'll find that link either on your screen or you'll find it in the notes below the podcast. Melissa, thank you so much for being with us again today. And all the best to you and to Stephen and your family.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm praying for the shalom of Jerusalem and for protection for all of the innocent people involved.
Amen.
Shalom, and thank you for listening to Keeping It Israel. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it and consider supporting us to keep the conversation going. And just so you know, you can watch this podcast on our First Century Foundation's YouTube channel, where you will find all of our Keeping It Israel interviews and much more from First Century Foundations. So don't forget to subscribe. First Century Foundations exists to turn hearts around the world toward the land, people, and God of Israel. We support over 70 ministries in Israel who are doing an incredible work on behalf of the kingdom of God in so many different ways. We also take tours to Israel, and we would love to have you join us. Please visit firstcenturyfoundations.com to learn more about the work we do and how you can stay connected. Until next time, from all of us at First Century Foundations, God bless you and God bless Israel.